It is the fruit of the Spirit. It isn't something that we decide, hey, I'm going to do this. No, it's something that comes about through a yielded vessel to the Spirit of God. It's fruit. You know, when you look at a fruit tree as it's producing fruit, apples, peaches, or whatever it may be, that apple tree produces apples because it's an apple tree. And that peach tree produces peaches because it's a peach tree. And whenever life springs up in the springtime, and the sap begins to flow in that tree, and it begins to do what it's supposed to do, it's going to produce fruit because it is a fruit tree. And we are trees of God's planting. And God has put in us the sap of His Spirit as life in us through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is producing in us these fruits, the fruit of love and joy and peace. Now you know there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in those 9 gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says that they are given individually as the Holy Ghost will. They're distributed according to His will to individuals. Not everybody has all 9 gifts of the Spirit. And normally, the way He operates, He may operate one of those gifts in the lives of a person over and over again. And sometimes that's the way it happens. But He has the prerogative. And He is the Lord of those gifts. And He distributes them as He sees the need, according to His will, in the lives of His people, for the edification of the body of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is not like the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, all 9 of them, belong to all of God's people everywhere. So that this is not something we just pick and choose from. We don't say, well, I want love, and you can have joy, and you can have peace, and you can have long-suffering, and you can have goodness. But it comes as a package deal. And you understand that he really did not say the fruits of the Spirit. He said the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit, because this is a package deal, brother. When we come to the Lord and the Spirit of God begins to live inside of us, He begins to produce in all of His people the same kind of fruit. There's a reason for that. And that is because God has given to everybody the same Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, He says, there is one Spirit. And so everybody in the kingdom of God has been given the same Spirit. And without the Spirit of Christ, guess what? We are none of His. And so we all have the same Spirit. And that same Spirit is working in all of God's children. And that Spirit is working in us to produce in us an image, same image, the image of Jesus Christ. So He has the same pattern for all of God's people for all time. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is reproducing in us. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the character of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is producing in us, reproducing in us, the character of Jesus Christ. This is the character of Christ. Love, joy, and peace. These are things that characterize the life of Jesus. Jesus would tell His disciples, He'd say, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give you my peace. So that the same things that were in Jesus, Jesus says, I'm going to give them to you. And this is a gift from Him. It's the work of the operation of the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of the Lord is reproducing in us the image of the Son of God. Brother, it doesn't matter what time period you live in. It doesn't matter what age you live in, what country you come from, what your background may be, The Holy Ghost is working in every one of us to produce in us the same image, the image of Jesus Christ, so that as time goes on, we all resemble the same person. Hallelujah. I always said that the longer you've been married to a person, the more you look like them. Well, I must be getting prettier and prettier. You know, I don't really believe that now. I really don't believe that. But you've heard that said, haven't you? Well, you know, when you belong to Jesus now, it really is true that you get to look more and more like Him because the Spirit of God is making you more and more like Jesus as time goes on. And this is what He's doing in us. He's producing the fruit of the Spirit. He's producing in us the love that was in Jesus. The same love that was in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is putting that same love in us. Reproducing that love in us. It's a divine love. It's called agape love. That's the Greek word for divine love in the New Testament. Agape, you've heard that word agape. That's the Greek word for the love of God that we see revealed in the New Testament. It is a word not found in secular literature of Greek writings. It's a word peculiar to the New Testament because there is no love like it. It is divine love. It comes from God. It's the work of the Spirit of God in us. It is divine love. And this agape love has certain characteristics about it that mark it out as being different from all other types of love. This agape love is an unconditional love. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This love of God was an unconditional love. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to be good enough for God to love you. You see, God loved us even when we were unlovable. The Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is an unconditional love. A love that's given without conditions. A love that doesn't have to be earned. A love that we don't have to do something in order for God to distribute or disperse upon us or give to us His divine love. So it's an unconditional love. And the Spirit of God is producing in us an unconditional love so that we love people even when they don't deserve our love. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, now some people it's easy to love. Isn't that right? Some people easy to love. You know, people that agree with you, people that are on your same level educationally, and people that are on your same level economically, and people that think like you do, and people that have a similar background to you, and, you know, people that stroke you, you can stroke them. You know, it's easy to love some people, but it's not so easy to love some other people. And you know God's going to put somebody in your life. Every one of us have got people in our life. It's not easy to love them. They rub you the wrong way. They may not like you. In fact, they just may despise you. But the Bible teaches us that this is the work of the Spirit of God in us. He is producing in us the same kind of love that God had for us. An unconditional love. Hallelujah. And so, this love of God is unconditional. It's universal. God loved the world. He didn't just love white people. He loved black people. He loved red people. He loved yellow people. It didn't matter what color their skin was. It didn't matter what their nationality was. It didn't matter what their religion was. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When he says the world, we're not talking about this globe. We're talking about the people on it. We're talking about the people that populated this globe. And God so loved the world. Hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten son. This is an unconditional love. It's a universal love. So that we love people regardless of where they come from. We love people regardless of their skin color. We love people even when we're from the South. Hallelujah. Yeah. We love people even if we were raised in families that were racially prejudiced. That doesn't matter. I'm telling you, God, through the Spirit of the Lord, puts in us God's divine love and causes us to love people everywhere because God so loved the world. The same love that God had, he puts it in us. Praise God. Makes us understand that we are of no more value to God because of our skin color than the man down the road whose skin's a different color from ours. Every one of us were valuable to God equally. And God loved the world. He didn't just reach down and choose certain ones to love, but God embraced the world in his love. And so it's a universal love. And that same love, God puts it inside of us. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that says, I'm not just going to say this, I'm going to demonstrate this. It's a love that is active. You read in the book of Galatians where he says that circumcision avails nothing with God, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which is demonstrated in deeds of love. This is what really matters to God, is our faith in Jesus Christ, which is demonstrated by deeds of love. Now you know that people do good deeds all the time who do not know God. I know people who are so liberal in their giving, compassionate toward other people. They don't have a relationship with God. They're just like that naturally. And you can be good in a lot of areas and not know God. But I'm telling you, this is the difference. When you have a relationship with God, then those good deeds are rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. And they are the result of our faith in Jesus Christ. And our faith is demonstrated by deeds of love. The writer says, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So that if the love of God is in us, that love is going to be demonstrated by the deeds of our life. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You know, pure religion and undefiled before God is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's a positive side to this pure and undefiled religion, and there's a negative side to it. On the positive side, we're to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That doesn't mean that you're just to go to their house and see them. That means that when you see them in need, you supply their needs. You do good to them. That's what it means when it says visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. It means that you meet the needs of those people when you see them in need. And here's the negative side: keep himself unspotted from the world. Some people love to emphasize that first part and sort of cut off that second part. And some people like to just emphasize that last part and sort of cut off that first part. But I'm telling you, pure religion and undefiled before God has a positive side and a negative side. It is visiting the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and keeping himself unspotted from the world. And I'm telling you, if you're going to have peace with God when Jesus comes back, you better have both in place. And it all stems from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one kind of religion that's going to work, brother, and it's the pure and undefiled religion, separated from the world and doing deeds of love that are rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, how long's it been since we took notice of somebody in need? And we did something to try to relieve that person in need. How long has it been since our hearts was touched by somebody that was struggling some way? And we took time and we sacrificed in order to see that person's needs met.
We read where he said the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Hallelujah. It's joy. Joy that's due to our position in the Lord. For the Bible tells us that we are to rejoice, not because the devils are subject unto us, but we're to rejoice because our names are written down in heaven. Hallelujah. And so we're to have the joy of knowing that we belong to God, that we are in Christ Jesus, that we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that we have this wonderful position of being children of God, adopted into His family, given, made an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This is our joy. We're to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And it is the Spirit of God that testifies to our hearts that we are the children of God. We've got to have a witness from heaven, brother. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people claiming and professing to be ready to meet God. But all they have is the word of their pastor about that, or the word of their mother about that, or the word of their husband about that, and they have no witness from heaven about that. But brother, we're to never be satisfied until we've got a witness from heaven, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. So this is what brings joy to our hearts, when we have a divine witness that we are ready to meet God and our names are written down in heaven. Hallelujah. This is the joy of the Spirit of God. We joy in our fellowship with God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, he said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. There's something inside of us when God comes into our life. There's something satisfying about a relationship with God. We have fellowship with Him. A fellowship that was cut off when Adam sinned, but now has been restored by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We've been reconciled unto God, and now we have fellowship with God. And the void in our life that sin made when it cut us off from God, that void has been filled by the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of God in our life. And so now we have joy. Praise God. This is the work of the Spirit of God. He gives us love, He gives us joy, and He gives us peace. Peace implies rest, contentment, harmony. It's an inward state of mind and heart that affects in a positive way our relations with our fellow man, so that all of our human relations are affected by our relationship with God. So if our relationship with God is not right, if we don't have peace with God and the peace of God inside of us, it affects all of our other relationships. When our relationship with God is not what it ought to be. But when you've got that relationship right, and you've got peace with God, and the peace of God rules in your heart, It affects all the other relationships that we have in life. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when our mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, we have life and peace. This peace is the result of our complete trust in God's goodness. It's not the absence of trouble, but I'm telling you that in the midst of your trouble, you can know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. This is the reason why it passes all understanding. Because it is a gift from God. It is the work of the Spirit of God. So that in the midst of our greatest troubles, there is an abiding peace that comes from the work of the Spirit of God. Peace. The peace of God. It's given to us by His Spirit. It results in peaceableness. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, so that it becomes the umpire of your actions. So you don't overrule the peace of God. You don't ever do anything or say anything or go anywhere that would disturb the peace of God in your heart. You know, there are times when if we get out of line, we feel a disturbance on the inside because we've disturbed the peace of God on the inside. And the peace of God is the umpire of our heart. And we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. So this is something that we are to pursue after. This is something we are to work on, that we have peace with all men. He says in 1 Peter 3:11, seek peace and pursue it, he said. So this is something that we make an object of life. We try by the grace of God to have peace with all men. And if there's not peace, and sometimes it's something we cannot help. You know, the Bible says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it's not up to you. Sometimes when you've done all you can do, as much as lies within you, living peaceably with all men. There are some people that are not going to live at peace with you. But as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. This is the work of the Spirit of God in us. Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. He's producing in us the same thing that was in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 14:27. Listen to this. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is a gift from God to us. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. These fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, are the answer to the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are enumerated just above where He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He tells us what the works of the flesh are. He says that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. In other words, moral impurity. That's the work of the flesh. But I want to tell you something now. You hear me?
When you love somebody, you don't take advantage of them. Do you hear me? I'm talking about love now is the answer to the works of the flesh. When you love with a divine love, you will not take advantage of somebody else. So, you know, any woman that loves God like she ought to love God, she's going to dress in such a way that she does not take advantage of somebody else. That she does not produce in someone else unlawful feelings by the way that she presents herself, even the way she's dressing or in the attitude she's showing. You know, people can have very modest clothing and have a flirtatious spirit. I've seen them like that. But you know, when you love people, then you're concerned about their purity. Any young man that loves a young lady will be concerned about her purity. Am I right? This is the antidote to the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. Brother, I'm telling you, it'll keep you pure, morally pure, when you love with the love of God. The works of the flesh, hatred, variance, which is discord, emulations, which is jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, which is a party spirit, factions and sects and within the church. These things, here is the antidote to the works of the flesh. Love and peace. How can we have the peace of God in us and at the same time be demonstrating the works of the flesh? Strife, variance, hatred, jealousy, emulation with the jealousy, wrath. You see? So this is what God gives us in place of those things that once controlled our life. Whereas all of these things were once true of us, and they brought sorrow to our life, and they robbed us of joy. But in place of all of these works of the flesh, God says, I'm going to give you love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. And those things will characterize the people of God. It's these other things that characterize the people of the world that don't know God. But you see, everybody that knows Him, that His Spirit lives in, their life is characterized by love and joy and peace. And the Lord willing, we'll deal with the rest of them later. But maybe this is enough tonight for us to see for what time we've had here tonight. And we want to ask God, Lord, help me to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Help me to have the flesh crucified by faith in what Christ did on the cross, and so that these works of the flesh are not manifest in my life, but the fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated as we yield to the Spirit of God in our life. There's got to be a yieldedness of our life to the Spirit. You know, sometimes I know that's not easy. I know sometimes, you know, we have to make a choice because there's a temptation. We have to make a choice. Will we yield to the temptation, or will we yield to the Spirit of God who is pulling us in the right direction and working to make us in the image of the Son of God? This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love,
joy, and peace. Hallelujah.